Hey guys, so this is Park here from the Homework Coach podcast. I'm joined today by Martin Hickey from CrossFit Cú Chulainn and Fusion Training Centre in Athlone. Martin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks
a lot. So guys, we're going to have a bit of a chat about Martin's background and a few different elements about his training facility in Athlone. First off, Martin, you have an interesting story, I think, on your transition from one industry to another. But could you give us a little bit of background on yourself and then how you got into coaching?
Yeah, so I actually got into training at first when I was in the Army. Mm-hmm. Or overseas, and you know, we didn't really do anything. That's a new owner, so yeah. I started kind of lifting weights like everybody does normally, and didn't really have a clue what I was up to.
Yeah.
It was mainly all isolation exercises and not very many compound lifts or anything like that, because everyone's going to go down in a scary manner.
Yeah.
And kind of through there, then I started doing some martial arts, kind of some kickboxing. And I got back out to kickboxing, I started kind of moving into coaching for kickboxing. And then when I started to fight, when I got to fighting, because I was, you know, interested in what on performance and how I could get better at that, what kind of different methods I could use. And so that's when I came across CrossFit, you know. And when we started doing it, you know, there was no CrossFit around where we were.
Yeah.
It wasn't even as like there was probably, I would say, 10% of the amount that's in the country now.
Yeah.
And when I was at my CrossFit level one, and they asked us how many people there, put up your hand for the people who never trained in the CrossFit city. It's just me, we're there, you know. Yeah, it was a bit of fun, and that's kind of what brought me into CrossFit, and how I kind of got into that. So now we started kind of using the methods with people, and I got interested in nutrition, because obviously they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I came across Precision Nutrition, and started using their methods, and started getting really good, staggeringly good results for the people who were sticking to it, you know. And I kind of earned my stripes in my area through that, and that kind of got me good exposure. And then I was teaching classes part-time, and we realized that quickly we need to get full-time facility, because people were right to the door, you know, starting to get dangerous ones and numbers in the class. The only way forward was to kind of go out of full-time. I was at a winding road in my military career. It was kind of like, it just wasn't fun for me anymore. I wasn't getting anything out of it personally. So I said, like, and I love coaching, and I love being that, you know, that guy who can kind of help people and get, you know, change people's lives, I suppose. Jesus, it sounds.
Yeah.
And so that's when I moved into
Cool. When did you get in? So that was 2013, 2014, maybe even before.
Yeah, so we were, when did I start doing? I kind of moved into martial arts in about 2006, 2007. I had 6-7 years doing that. Like, even when we started doing that, it was always MMA I wanted to do, but just like crossing, there was no MMA around, so I ended up just doing whatever was around, you know.
Yeah.
And then now, I opened the first MMA gym in Athlone, and that's all I got into that. So, yeah.
Cool, nice, good stuff. So I suppose, just on that point, the combination of setting up a dual type training center, so like that with CrossFit and with your nutrition orientation as well as your MMA, it's a nice, interesting mix, mainly because I suppose like that, the nutrition can be as helpful for the MMA as well as CrossFit.
Definitely,
and in a different kind of a realm, be with CrossFit for performance, but as well as that, and primarily more so for just quality of life.
Yeah.
Whereas then for MMA, it could be still for quality of life, but then it actually would be much more important really for performance. And was that the main reason for kind of setting up the, did it just kind of ease into it over time? You kind of got it, it rolled over, or you just kind of decided, okay, well, actually, I like, this would be a nice dream to have those kind of two or three elements together.
Yeah, like you said, like it's obviously great for CrossFit, because you want people, like 90% of people come to the gym so they can lose weight and get shit. So you need to be able to give them the, you know, the basics to do that. You know? And then for kind of like MMA and then like putting weight, it needs to be more than basics. It needs to get specific about, you know, maybe down to the macros. And that's where it's, you know, coaching an athlete is different than coaching the general public. You know, long term, in my mind, you know, calorie counting and macro counting is not good for the general public.
No.
But then for an MMA fighter who needs to make weight, if he's having, say, let's say 2,000 calories and it's all carbohydrates, he's not losing any weight. You know, that kind of way. So we need to fix it around to kind of get to where he needs to be. So I think, to answer your question, how did it all start? It all started as myself, I think, experimenting with myself. I was looking at, we were training at a gym, you know, there was nobody kind of doing what we were doing at that stage. And we would all go away and we just decided we're just going to go carbohydrates. And I was like, there must be a better way. And I was in the gym and getting my head dumped off me and being like really excited to fight at the end. I was always I wouldn't be the kind of guy that would be in shape. I can either, if I was eating, I can put on weight and look bigger, but I'm not lean, and I can lose weight, and everyone thinks I'm big lean, but I wouldn't be shredded with my top off.
Yeah.
And so I knew there had to be a better way to do it than just like, I don't care, I'm giving up carbs.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be some sort of a balance between the two.
Very much.
So, that's where, to be honest, by accident, I came across John Bernardi.
Yeah.
It was George St. Pierre, it was cooking food for George St. Pierre, and I was just like,
talking,
and I was just like, this is making insanely good sense to me, and I just kind of led on. Certainly, I bought two books for myself, and then I played through the course for myself, and and at that time, there was no one else using
it.
A lot of people are getting into it, But I can't deny them. I think the methods are
fantastic,
coming off sports science and college, and he's going to do the precision nutrition course, so that tells us
something. It really is. It's very, very solid. Yeah. So I suppose, did you find it challenging to transition from the army, or like you were saying, into the coaching kind of element, or did you have any kind of challenging times in the interim, it's always going to be a bit of a challenging time?
It is. It's kind of, someone asked me, I don't really go down to their classes, and no one ever really taught me, it was just something I kind of got into, and I never really even thought about what that person said to me.
Yeah.
Where did the college go down to their classes? Because someone was in the army, and they were like, he takes a really good class down there, and I actually never really thought about it, it was just evolved for me.
And were you teaching classes in the army? Really?
I mean, I was a clerk. I was going to be a clerk. I couldn't do both. But I got to a stage where I was like, I couldn't still do everything.
Yeah.
I was getting shipped away to do other stuff, and if I could have just been left to do the job, I probably would have stayed. But everything is just turned out the way it's supposed to be, 4 years out now.
Good stuff. I suppose just moving on to the next kind of element and the enthusiasm, I think, as a coach is always a fairly important part. But do you have a particularly favorite part of coaching? Is this, and I've talked to a few guys before about this, is it performance-oriented for the MMA crew, or is this just the general Joe Soap coming in and getting better at deadlifts or squats or fixing the food? That's a big, big part.
When you lay it out like that, there's so much to it, and then we take kids' classes down there, so we get to have all of that kind of stuff. And I don't think any one specific part of it is my favorite part. I just like helping each person to their individual goals, if that makes sense. I like going to corner fighters and obviously they win, but I get a buzz off that, especially if a guy's never done any martial arts before, and he comes in and got to a certain level and now he's self-confident and then he wants to fight and he goes on, he wins. Obviously that feels great, but then at the same time you get a guy coming in and maybe he's 100 some kilos and he's tried absolutely everything, and then we get him here and we start putting stuff into play with him, we tell him you don't have to kill yourself, and it only has to be incremental changes, and suddenly he starts losing weight and he's coming in and you can see the changes in him, so I get a buzz off that as well.
Very much.
It's not just one part that I enjoy, it's every single part of it,
good stuff.
Honestly, you're so busy all the time, you kind of get lost sometimes between just being mental coach and running a business and all that. Sometimes you lose sight of it, and then every now and then you get to sit down and take a look around. You see it all the city, and you realize, well, look here, you're running that. And in the gym, we have a PB wall, and people running all the PBs on the wall. This guy was telling me, we lost, losing all the weight, that's right on the first 50 pounds down.
It's phenomenal.
I was watching right down the wall, and what went into making that happen, So I suppose it's just being the difference between two people, that's the part that I enjoy most.
Nice. And I suppose on that, as coaches, we're always looking at other coaches and other, I suppose, elements of how to improve our own game. Is there any particular elements you think that we could get better at? Be it, one of them potentially be nutrition. I know there's a lot of different stuff out there these days on it, but even speaking about the precision nutrition guys, they're very, very solid. Is that something you think that a lot more coaches should be getting towards, or is it just maybe too much of a, especially in the CrossFit world, too much of a performance orientation? Even in the MMA, would you see a lot of people that would do it recreationally, or would do it with the intention of actually trying to be really, really good, or is there something that you think that we're missing coach-wise that we could improve on?
I think the CrossFit and the are very similar in many ways. You know, it's a very small portion of your members that are going to be the guys to compete.
Yeah.
You know, like 5% or less nearly, and the rest of them just enjoy it, and they want to be part of the team, and it's a buzz to be part of that. You know, kind of
yeah.
I think, you know, we have to give them that, you know, as best we can. I think, I definitely, like you were saying about the nutrition, like, obviously all coaches should have a really good basic fundamentals of it, so they're not doing like what I was saying. So carbohydrates, you know, So I think, but I suppose patience is probably a big virtue. I'm not sure an experience to me is the most important of the lot. Like, I think if we can get more patient, when you start to start, you kind of want to help everybody. And if somebody, I used to get very beat up about myself, if someone wasn't getting where it was supposed to go. I take that as what am I doing wrong? But it just makes sense to realize that you just need to be more patient and you need to look at different methods for different people. And the same thing that I use with one person might not always work with the other. And, you know, I think just you being experienced and being boots on the ground, you just start to pick up so much more. You know, kind of
like, I agree. I think even in the classes, like I've done a lot of PT over the years and in different sports as well and stuff. And it can definitely make a big difference to. I suppose a simple example is my parents would be, myself and my family would have been involved in a boxing club for years, and they're still involved, 25 years later, and the whole lot. But I remember at one stage, years back, I was young enough, kind of a guy, maybe 18, 19, I think, something like that, and I was getting into coaching, and I remember my dad turning around, and there was a load of new kids in September in the boxing club, like 30 or 40 new kids, and he's like, right, you need to take them for half an hour, and I'm like, God. So I had to try and entertain them, and all the parents are standing around going, right, what's the crack here? So, and they're all really excited, and I'm like, right, I have to teach these kids how to hit each other. So for me, some of that kind of stuff was interesting to kind of get, like that you say, the experience alone and getting used to those different different elements and different situations is a big, big part of it. I think it's an interesting way of working it, because like that, I would have had to build a lot more patience over time, especially with adults. Like even with the kids, you'd have to have a huge amount of patience, but it can also, with a good bit of awareness, it can definitely become a lot easier to actually fail to believe in yourself a good bit more, and then go, actually, do you know what? I can give you some ideas here that might work. And we got some people, I think, at the moment it just takes a different tact and a different, it takes a little bit more patience and understanding to go, okay, hang on, I don't have the answer right just yet, but I know I need to find out a couple more things before I actually come up with a bit of a solution for it, rather than just going, okay, well, this mobility exercise or this movement or this intervention nutritionally needs to be the big, big part.
I definitely agree with that. I think the big thing at the start is, because when you start off coaching, you're a bit nervous or whatever, have a bit less confidence in it. So, like, you want to kind of have an answer for everything, but it takes a lot more experience to realize that you're not going to have the answer for everything, you know, that kind of way.
Very much.
Yeah, and to come back with an educated response to it, pretend you know the answer to everything.
Exactly. So, have you found any, I suppose, moving on to back to your kind of facility, and I'm interested to find out the challenges and some of the good stuff, obviously, about running a dual, like, we have a dual kind of a facility here. And like that, have you found any particular big challenges, even with some potentially negative connotations towards MMA or anything like that, or even CrossFit from more regular folk? You were saying that there wouldn't have been an awful lot of those type of facilities in Athlone, and you would have come from it would have been a bit of a different mentality. So when that kind of stuff pops up, it's either novel or else it's intimidating for a lot of people. Have you found any, over the years, any particular negativity towards that kind of facility, or has it just been really interesting and positive because it's grown more popular?
I definitely think we've definitely encountered some sort of negativity towards it, because I try and get the message across. I'm sure you've heard it yourself, but like, especially from girls are that, and they're like convinced that it's, you know, the barbell that's making them put on muscle or whatever. So we definitely get negativity towards that. I'm still dealing with it. You put people in the ring, well, my brother down as best they can, you know, that you're not going to grow unless you're eating more calories or whatever. Like,
yeah.
If it was that simple, I'd be huge, you know. I'd be like, well, this is training.
Totally, yeah.
Just train hard, that would be huge. But, you know, try to break that down. So I think you do get a lot of negativity towards that. People, women specifically, you don't understand. But then you don't get into it, and then you lift heavier, and then you realize that you're actually getting into better shape, blah, blah, blah. You know, then actually getting muscular, being like women bodybuilders, which is honestly the thing that's reflected the most.
Yeah.
Like, women bodybuilders are hard. They have to eat a lot to get to that level, you know,
very
much. Anyway, so I try to break that down to people who want to lose weight. Like, if you lift more, you'll actually lose more as long as you're following these basic things that I set out for you, you know,
yeah.
Kind of like, with the MMA, like, kind of, you know, especially with Dubai basketball there last year, that was obviously tragic,
yeah.
You know, but I thought it was great. His family came out and said, like, that if, you know, if he was still alive, he'd still be doing it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Very much.
You know, you kind of get a lot of negative press off that. Like, luckily, you know, Conor McGregor's come and he's given a lot of publicity
yeah.
to it, so, and it's obviously getting bigger and bigger because of that. I find people want to do like jiu-jitsu and they want to do some kickboxing, but they don't actually want to do sparring towards it, and that's perfect. And the same with jiu-jitsu, you know, jiu-jitsu is great, you get to like,
technical.
Go ahead
yeah.
and go, and you can kind of like, see what I make. Craig Mass said, like, we 10 seconds away from death, and
exactly.
see the game perfect again.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
There's not many other sports can give
no.
you that kind of buzz, so people just kind of get buzz off that as well. So if you wanted to kind of try and MMA style and not have the full on MMA, you know, injuries and wear and tear or whatever, then they're good choices, you know, that kind of
Very much.
Trying to get that message across. And, you know, there's a lot of clubs out there that are like fight clubs in that way, so then you kind of have to, and these things take time to change people's opinion, because once you grow up and they just assume you're doing the same thing as everybody else.
Exactly, yeah.
And I've heard the same about CrossFit, where people are like, oh, CrossFit's really bad, it gets me injured, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, where did you train that? And like, oh, that guy, you know, around the corner or whatever. He's not even a CrossFit affiliate, he's not a CrossFit coach.
He just he does a few bits, like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because they're on the first day, so
yeah.
You know, it's same as everything, you're going to get bad, you know, people doing the wrong, using the methods in the wrong way. And same with MMA, like, guys coming in, get a beginner on the first day, and let them spiral, there's something wrong with that shit,
yeah.
You know, that kind of way, like, so.
Very much.
You know, I think, and you kind of just have to slowly but surely change the tide and get people's opinion away from that for you. And, you know, and again, these things definitely just take time, you know. It's an ongoing and constantly evolving, even for us as well, you know.
Yeah,
you know, so.
No, I agree. I suppose, yeah, on the kind of last couple of points, really, have you any particular next step for your own coaching development? I like asking this kind of question, only because I'm always kind of interested in the next step, and not necessarily just to take away from the current like abilities that we would have as coaches, but what's either the next interesting step for yourself or the next interesting step for training in general? Have you any particular things you've got coming up, be it courses or books or any particular interests floating about?
So I'm actually going through the CrossFit level 2 now.
Oh, nice.
I don't know,
I'm looking at, not yet, not yet. I'm really lazy, I'm not going to throw it. I don't know why. I'm terrible.
As long as you compete.
Yeah. I've
got the net in there, so I'm not doing
it. I think I'm up next year, so I have to get myself organized.
So I'm doing level 2, and I'm going to get that done in August. I'm excited about that, because it's always great to go and, like, tell us meeting with yourself and kind of buzz ideas off each other. Maybe walk around the gym, you know, you see one or two things that, you know, ignite things in my own head of things I might be thinking about or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's always good to go up and network and see what's going on and all that with these kind of things. So I'm looking forward to getting up and doing that. Seeing what new tools I can pick up on a course like that and bring back to the facility again.
Yeah.
You know, we're just looking at what's the next thing for our facility, or what's the thing that we're missing, or, you know,
like program wise or something like that,
That's what I'm doing Pilates, a couple of times Pilates, the yoga, apparently. I really just think that's the kind of thing that complements what we do in CrossFit, because there's a lot of wear and tear, maybe that's
very
the
much,
side
yeah.
that people are missing out on. So if it was like 3-1 class, 2-1, or something along their lines, you know.
Yeah.
Something along their lines I think would really work well together for getting people to their goals. And obviously there's a good lot of mindfulness in Pilates and yoga, that's something that a lot of people don't meditate or never experience normally, you know, that kind
of.
I feel like that's something else, because obviously training is so good for the head, and then that's a certain part that's kind of maybe not getting hit with, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly it. Like, we're at French Finoli here, and the emphasis, like you just said there, that we have on that complete, I suppose, orientation towards mindfulness of all of the different facets of fitness. So like that, we would have a lot of people who would have done Pilates before, and then they would be able to transfer that And I always call, and it's jokingly to an extent, but it's fairly, I think it's fairly true. I would call CrossFit Pilates in the wild,
yeah,
to an extent. So,
yeah, it is, yeah.
Because it has an awful lot of the same awareness needed. If you're doing reformer, you're doing floor Pilates or whatever it is, it still requires the same basic body awareness that will really, really mean that you can make a lot of progress throughout all the movements. Yeah, it just complements it so much. Like even if you do a very, very decent Pilates class or you do a decent yoga class, your strength and stamina gets challenged no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be very, very valid, I think. But I think that's interesting that like that, there's a lot of different coaches that are and facility owners that would be looking at lots of different programs. But we found that it's really, really interesting on that. Like you'd always try lots of different types of programs, be it boot camps or 6 week challenges of this or this or this. But actually those alternative kind of programs can be really, really helpful, and they can add an awful lot of interesting customers to your client base that can easily rotate through different programs. So it makes it very good.
Yeah, because they thought CrossFit was too intimidating, and they get there, they see people in yoga class, or just like damn, they also go to CrossFit or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's a full spectrum. I think like when you're training somebody, whether it's health or nutrition or injuries, you have to look at the full spectrum of what's going on with them, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's where the plot is all that comes back in.
Yeah, yeah, no, very much.
Someone's not losing weight sometimes or whatever. It could be stress levels or whatever, or someone has an injury that's not getting better. As a friend of mine, he does PBT or limiting. And we were talking about it, two of us were the same kind of channel vision or things like that. A lot of it may actually be, you know, someone has an injury. How much is that psychological? You know, that kind
oh,
of,
very much.
You know, someone and they're like, oh, how bad am I or not bad? But did an injury, maybe it's years old. You know,
exactly,
like,
yeah.
So you think you have a bad injury, but it's going to be better when you believe that. You know?
Very
so,
true.
Yeah,
cool, cool. And final one, are you reading any particular books at the moment? I'm always kind of interested in this. I don't know why I'm just a nerd for that. Are you a videoer or are you a podcast person like me a little bit?
Yeah,
or
I love
a bit of
podcasts. Yes. Yeah. What have I been listening to that? I listened to, as I was saying, Greg Bielsa's podcast recently.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's relevant to jiu-jitsu, but makes such a positive person to be around. How we kind of spent the week with him. Just the way he kind of, I don't know whether it's intentional anymore, but he shuts down negative conversations. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'll be talking to him, we ask him a question, and so he was just like, you know, if he talks negative, it's just his reply to me, you know, it doesn't, I don't think about that either way. And then just it doesn't cut you off.
Yeah, he just kind of eases it out of the way.
Yeah, so when I listen to this podcast and stuff like that, it makes me more aware of stuff even to do with the gym, or the message I can give my guys, whether it's even CrossFit or it can be jiu-jitsu, you know, just go, one of the good ones I came up there the other day was like, can I breathe? If I can't breathe, I can't think. So I need to slow it back down, like whether it was Olympic lifting or jiu-jitsu, or I need to be able to think, because if I can't, I'm going to be a trainer, I can eat, you know, that kind of
way. Exactly.
I just thought, like, you know, you kind of get guys coming into the gym, to one of the very first day, they don't have the skill yet. We need to program the movement pattern before we start adding the intensity. The same with jiu-jitsu, where people want to come in and they're wondering why, you know, all the 17-year-olds who were here in the last 3 years are talking about
like a 40-year-old
big guy who's just going to get, you know, that kind of, I just find that this is that kind of podcast, kind of, it helps me give the message back to how we can do things better, you know,
that
kind of, if I can get one idea off the podcast of how to, you know,
yeah, no, I think that's a big, big part for me as well. I always work in little anecdotes. I think, I don't know, sometimes there's a strange anecdotes, but I think like that, the more I think about and I listen to other coaches, the more I realize that the storytelling is the big, big part, and it's just a case of reorienting the story for the appropriate person. So it's really interesting, like that.
Start doing kids, and then you bring it back to the adults. Like, we had some days we were working on our kids' classes, and then we started having the adults' classes, and they loved it.
Yeah, the difference is it's not a big difference.
It's just an adult, it's just a big kid.
Absolutely. Well, cool, man, that's fantastic. I really, really appreciate you coming on. If you're in Athlone, guys, Fusion Training Center, CrossFit Coolcullen, is where you want to get to. So, we really appreciate you coming on, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for your
Cool, thanks, dude. We'll see you soon.